Chapter 3, The Lutheran Revolt. The organization of the Europe of the 13th century furnishes us with one concrete realization of the divine plan. It is hardly necessary to add that there were then to be seen defects in the working of the divine plan due to the character of fallen man, as well as an important mastery of physical nature. Yet, withal, the formal principle of ordered social organization in the world, the supremacy of a mystical body, was grasped and, in the main, accepted. The Lutheran revolt, prepared by the cult of pagan antiquity at the Renaissance, and by the favor enjoyed by the nominalist philosophical theories, led to the rupture of that order. The great cardinal principle of Protestantism is that every man attains salvation by entering into an immediate relation with Christ, with the aid of that interior faith by which he believes that though his sins persist, they are no longer imputed to him thanks to the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. All men are thus priests for themselves and carry out the work of their justification by treating directly and individually with God. The life of grace, being nothing else than the external favor of God, remains outside of us, and we continue, in fact, in spite of Lutheran faith in Christ, corrupt and sinful. Each human being enters into an isolated relation with our Lord, and there is no transforming life in which all are called to share. Luther never understood the meaning of faith informed by sanctifying grace and charity. Accordingly, the one visible church of the mystical body is done away with, as well as the priesthood and the sacrifice of the mystical body, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The only purpose of preaching and such ceremonies as were retained by Protestants was to stir up the individual's faith. Hence, the true Church of Christ, according to the Protestant view, is nothing less than the assembly of those who, on account of the confidence interiorly conceived of the remission of their sins, have the justice of Christ imputed to them by God, and are accordingly predestined to eternal life. And this church, known to God alone, is the unique church of the promises of indefectibility to which our Lord Jesus Christ promised his assistance to the consummation of the world. Since, however, true believers, instructed by the Holy Ghost, can manifest their faith exteriorly, can communicate their impressions and feelings to others, and may employ the symbols of the sacraments to stir up their faith, they give rise to a visible church, which, nevertheless, is not the church instituted by Christ. Membership of this church is not necessary for salvation, and it may assume different forms according to circumstances. The true invisible church of Christ is always hidden, unseen in the multitude. Protestantism, therefore, substituted for the corporate organization of society, imbued with the spirit of the mystical body, and reconciling the claims of personality and individuality in man, a merely isolated relation with our divine Lord. This revolt of the human individual against order on the supernatural level, this uprise of individualism, with its inevitable chaotic self-seeking, had dire consequences both in regard to ecclesiastical organization and in the realms of politics and economics. Let us take these in turn. Protestant church organization. The tide of revolt which broke away from the Catholic Church had the immediate effect of increasing the power of princes and rulers in Protestant countries. The Anabaptists and the peasants in Germany protested in the name of evangelical liberty, but they were crushed. We behold the uprise of national churches, each of which organizes its particular form of religion, mixture of supernatural and natural elements, as a department of state. The Orthodox Church in Russia was also a department of state, and as such, exposed to the same evils. National life was thus withdrawn from ordered subjection to the divine plan, and the distinction laid down by our divine Lord himself between the things that are God's and the things that are Caesar's, utterly abolished. Given the principle of private judgment, or of individual relation with Christ, it was inevitable that the right of every individual to arrange his own form of religion should cause the pendulum to swing from a Caesarian supreme in church and state to other concrete expressions of evangelical liberty. One current leads in the direction of indefinite multiplication of sects.